11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the League Podcast, all three divisions in one podcast this week, because sad to say that our friend and colleague Sam Ashu from the 72.co.uk is a little bit poorly. So Pete Farris, our usual championship expert, you're going to delve into League One and League Two for us this week, Pete.
Yeah,
thank you.
I don't feel particularly great.
Pull yourself together.
I'm actually fine. I've avoided all of it so far.
Wow, fantastic. I'm pleased to hear that. You have been struggling with a cold yourself, though, for a couple of weeks.
I have.
But you've battled on.
But you see, unlike those other people, you see, who've had serious leg injuries or a horrible, painful stomach illnesses, I've actually managed to get through my mild cold pretty well. So I'm quite pleased with myself.
Fair enough. Let's start with a Yorkshire derby, which is live on Sky Television, Rotherham United versus Leeds United. Leeds going to South Yorkshire in 14th position, 3 points better off than Rotherham, who are in 17th, and they've both got a negative goal difference, but Leeds is slightly better. Leeds all of a sudden now, just one defeat in the last seven games now, and that was the away defeat at Brentford. A couple of draws in the last two against Reading and Sheffield Wednesday. Rotherham unbeaten in a couple, but a few more defeats than Leeds. Leeds are starting to just sharpen up a little bit, aren't they? Just starting to get a little bit of a run together here, Pete. What about going to Rotherham? They're priced up at 12-5. Rotherham just a shade of odds against at 21-20, and the draw 9-5. Got to be a bit of value in the draw or the Leeds price, have they?
Yeah, I think they might well be. First and foremost, Rotherham were expecting to be able to field former Leeds striker Luciano Becchio, of course. He, since then, has broken his ankle and won't be available. He's gone back to his parent club, which means I think Rotherham are a little bit weaker up front for the game. Last home game, of course, Becchio scored, along with Carrie Arneson, to beat Blackburn Rovers 2-0. They've won two of the last five at home. Watford and Brentford have beaten them, and they drew, of course, in that game with Charlton. But you're absolutely right. Leeds look a lot more solid. And things, I appreciate we've had another new manager go in Darko Milanic, but they still look a little bit more solid and a little bit more settled as a side. Speaking to someone I know actually among the playing staff as well, it does seem to all be a lot more settled and calm now. So, for me, with Leeds playing the way they're playing, one loss in five to Brentford, and if you actually look at the teams that Leeds have been to, their away form isn't brilliant, one away win all season, but they've been to Millwall, they've been to Watford, of course, the third, and they've been to Brentford, who are 10th. So they've been to three teams who are inherently better than Rotherham are. This is going to be a feisty affair. Keith Stroud is the referee. He's going to have, in my opinion, a heck of a game to basically preside over, because this will be a game that the Leeds fans will be well up for, Rotherham fans will be well up for it. It will be a tough, tight, battling affair. So actually, my first bet is to go to the cards markets. I've played over 45 total booking points, Lee, at 6-5, which I think is a very, very decent bit of pricing, actually. Mm. You look at Keith Stroud's booking record recently, there have been some high booking amounts. I mean, if you look at the championship game he's most recently done, Brighton against Blackpool, 8 bookings in that. Yeah. He gave out 6 bookings in a red card, Leighton Orient against Colchester. 7 bookings, Wolves against Blackburn Rovers. 8 bookings down at Dagenham against Exeter City. So he has got bookings in his pocket as Keith Stroud. So I thought over 45 booking points at 6-5 was the first place to go. What are you chuckling at?
I just like that phrase. He's got bookings in his pocket. I like it.
It's actually technically true.
Top pocket, in fact.
Yeah, I didn't even mean to do that.
It's good. I like it. No, I liked it. It wasn't a derisory snort. It was more of what's the word I'm looking for? A congratulatory snort.
Well, it sounded derisory, so I'll see you in the car park.
Yours or mine?
I don't know. Okay. I don't actually have a car park outside my house. I have a small yard and the front of the and the front road. But yeah, also worth a look, I think, is draw at half time. I think the draw at half-time, if you are playing a double result market, that's where I'd be looking, whether you look at draw Rotherham at 4s, draw at 15-4, or draw Leeds at 7-1. Whichever of those three you delve into, I think certainly the first half draw would be the way to play it for me as well. Quite frankly put, I just think these are going to be two sides who cancel each other out that early on. The draw price at half-time, even money, but ultimately my favourite bet is actually draw in the game. I think 9-4 is a really handy price. I think Rotherham are slightly weaker at the front with the loss of Luciano Becchio. I think the Leeds are still very tight, very organised. They, of course, rescued that point against Sheffield Wednesday through Bellucci. And I just think that they're going to be very, very hard to beat. So ultimately speaking, 9-4 the draw, Lee, was the way I played this.
The TV game on Saturday, 12:15, sees Cardiff taking on Nottingham Forest. Forest, of course, second in the table at the moment. Cardiff, not quite there, 15th in the table. The prices, 7-5, the South Welsh team, 21-10, the draw, and Nottingham Forest are priced up at 9-5. Forest, mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that they've just hit a little bit of an obstacle. They can't stop drawing games, to be fair. The last four games have all been draws in the Championship. They did get beaten 3-1 by Tottenham. And that was before, since that great run. A bit of a socks-up syndrome situation for them. As far as Cardiff go, Pete, just inconsistent. They'll draw, they'll lose, they'll win, they'll draw, they'll lose. It's hard to predict what they're going to do in any given game. Did get a win against Sheffield Wednesday last time at home, but would you trust a draw here again?
Yes, I actually would. I mean, it's actually a game that's quite simple for me, Lee. Cardiff, obviously, new man in charge. He's going to go in. He's going to be very, very determined not to lose his first couple of games. And certainly he's going to want to keep everything tight. And to be fair, Cardiff haven't been too loose. Did concede three against, I think it was Bournemouth. But generally speaking, they've been very, very tight. They've been quite tricky. They've just not been able to pick up the wins that they need. Forest with four draws from five, three of those nil-nils. And I appreciate the game against Ipswich was a 2-2 draw, but that was daylight robbery that they managed to draw that game. I watched the whole 90 minutes of that, and as much as I do like Nottingham Forest as a side, Ipswich I thought were incredibly unlucky there. That Daryl Murphy brace cancelled out 90th minute by Mikel Antonio, there you go. But I looked at this game, and do you know what? Sometimes, as I've just done, I like to go to the booking markets, or I like to look at the half-time draw, or the minus one, or whatever. And sometimes I look at the game and I go, for me, that is an absolutely nailed-on draw, 21-10.
Yeah, fair enough. Does looks a pretty likely outcome. Brighton versus Middlesbrough next then. Brighton down in 19th position, Middlesbrough in 5th at the odds. First of all, 13-10, 11-5 the draw, and 19-10 for Middlesbrough. Recent form, well, Brighton are unbeaten now in the last five games. Four of those draws, though. Their only win was in the League Cup, so all the Championship matches have been drawn. Middlesbrough picked up again with a 2-0 win over Fulham, and that was just put an end to a run of two draws that they got. But not bad form at all, Pete. I mean, there was they were lose a game, they would win a game, lose a game. They don't really change that much, Borough. The most surprising thing was that they drew a couple of games against Charlton and Blackpool.
Yeah, I mean, drawing against Charlton, no shame in that. No. I mean, Charlton aside, unbeaten, of course, so far this season and looking very, very good indeed. So no shame in that. Their performance against Blackpool, as Aitor Karanka himself said, was quite simply not good enough. But around that, they got themselves three wins. You could look at Brighton's form one or two ways, I think. You can say they lost to Ipswich, at Ipswich, so fair enough. Hard place to go. And then they've drawn four games back-to-back. So well done, they've not been losing. But actually, look at the teams they've drawn with. Blackpool, as Borough did, of course, mind, but Blackpool not having a great time of things. Forest going through a barren spell. Cardiff losing their manager and not getting one immediately back in place. Watford, constant disruption behind the scenes, and despite the fact they're third and doing brilliantly, it is not a settled camp, it is not a happy camp, and of course we've just seen a new manager go in replacing a man who's in charge of the club for, what, less time than it often takes me to bake a casserole. So
You bake your casseroles, do you?
Well, that must be the problem. That's why it's taking me 11 days. But no, seriously, you look at it and you say, well, their games have actually come against sides who've got marked struggles in their form or off the field. Middlesbrough don't have that. Weren't good against Blackpool, fair enough. Got a good draw against Charlton, they're a good side. Beat Brentford, beat Cardiff, beat Fulham. And again, if I look at the price here, I am surprised, I will say it that way, I am surprised that Middlesbrough are the price they are at 19-10. The draw no bet was really the main place I wanted to go with this. I thought that, yeah, listen, they're a great bit of value at 19-10, but with a couple of draws in their pocket of late, I keep using the phrase pocket, I don't know why, it might well be worth taking that extra insurance. 23-20 on Middlesbrough, draw no bet. But again, you look at the moment at how they're playing, and it has to be, I think, looked at very strongly. The other thing worth looking at is Adam Reach, left winger, very, very talented young English winger, 3-1 any time. He scored last time out, and Aitor Karanka is basically at the moment using him as an inside forward, so he'll start on the wing but then just basically drift in and play off whoever he's got playing up there, whether it be Tomlin, Kike, Bamford, Vossen, and then sometimes he'll switch him to the right-hand side and get him to cut in, and he's getting him really at the moment. The kind of the brief for him has been shoot and try and score as soon as is humanly possible, and he's been given a real attacking brief. So I think 3-1 any time, quite a big price.
Let's have a look at Bournemouth-Charlton next. Bournemouth are priced about 4-6 here, 5-2 the draw, and Charlton are 19-5. I'm just reading that again. Bournemouth 4-6, 5-2 the draw, and Charlton 19-5. Charlton 7th with 19 points. Bournemouth 11th with 15 points. Bournemouth on a decent run though, and have picked up a lot since the start of the season. They've won 3 of the last 4, including the League Cup win at Cardiff, which was a good result, of course. The defeat came at Derby, but they've won 3 of the last 4 have been away from home as well. The home form, not quite as solid. Charlton drawing plenty of matches, but not losing many at all, Pete. Can you tell me why that? Why do you think the 19-5?
No idea.
I mean, given that they draw a lot of games, they don't want to steal your thunder. They've got to be drawing no bet material, haven't they?
Yeah, well, they are.
At the very least, plus one material.
I know that Simon Church is out. Was injured, wasn't he? We're playing for Wales, I think, in the week. So you could maybe say that. But I don't.
But pro punters would tell you they never take any notice of team news, even if it's a major team and someone like Costa sitting out. You know, they don't take. It doesn't matter to a bet. The odds still remain the same because it's still the same team, so it shouldn't matter that much, should it?
No, it shouldn't.
It's a daft. I don't know what I don't like more, the odds on price for the home team or how big they've got them at. It's mad.
But I mean, you could even argue that if you look at Bournemouth and say if they'd won 4 of their 5 home games this season, you'd go, well,
fair enough.
Okay,
yeah.
But you know, 2 wins, Brentford and Wigan. They've lost against Leeds and Nottingham Forest, drawn with Rotherham. They're a good side. They play really nice football, but the prices do not come close to reflecting the likelihood of the results.
That is strange.
4 draws from 5 for Charlton. If you are going to look at Charlton or draw or the Charlton draw no bet, for me it's actually the plus a goal, the double chance that's better value, actually.
Definitely.
Because, you know, it sounds silly. Well, I'll rephrase that. It's not better value because Charlton are 3-1 on that, and then Charlton or draw are 5-4. But if you're wanting a return, rather than a punt at a big price here, you have got a lot of draws. It's not like there's a bit of inconsistent form and your team are quite a good better draw no bet. You know, it's kind of a shot to nothing if it's a draw, of course. With this and the amount of draws they've been getting, that's why I think it's worth taking the double chance at 5-4 rather than taking the draw no bet at 3s, if that makes sense.
Yes.
But it's an amazing bit of pricing. It really is. It feels like the traders are almost dangling this carrot and kind of going, come on, I dare you.
I get that. I just wonder why. Why in this game? You know what I mean? It doesn't seem an obvious one. It just seems a strange pricing to me. I just can't figure it out.
I agree. I actually quite like the both teams to score as well at 5-6, Lee. Landed in 3 of the last 4 Charlton draws, and that 3 of the last 5 games. Generally, for Bournemouth at home, it's landed in 3 of their 5 matches so far this season. And if you combine those, marry the two of them up, you can, of course, get match result and both teams to score draw at 18-5. There is no doubt in my mind, though, really, the pricing of this is it's huge. Mm. It is huge, and it is well worth well worth listeners taking a bit of a punt, a bit of a leap in some way, shape or form on Charlton. Just very quickly as well, Vita Kale, 3 away goals for him so far this season. One of their main threats, I know that Goodmunson scored recently and Johnny Jackson scored recently, but if you fancy a bet, just shy of 2-1 for Igor Vita Kale, looks very good indeed, 15-8.
Yeah, it's a nice price. Next up, let's have a look at Birmingham versus Bolton. Birmingham are in 20th position with 11 points from the 11 games, and Bolton are in 24th or last. 5 points from their 11 games. The prices see Birmingham at 23-20, 23-10 the draw, and 21-10 for Bolton, who have enlisted the help of Neil Lennon this week to guide them away from the relegation zone. I was looking earlier in the week, Pete, at some of the prices around Bolton to finish in the top half, just to, you know, because it's not unheard of that a new manager comes in and gets a team going, and you know, you string a decent run together and you can soon lift up this table. You can get around 11-1 for Bolton to finish in the top half, which I thought might be worth a little look. Do you think they'll get off to a flyer with Lennon in charge?
I think they will, actually.
He's
yeah.
banned bubble hats, which is, I think that's a key start to any managerial reign.
It is. It's very much kind of in the contract negotiations, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, Neil, this is how much we're going to offer you. Now, before we get to that, can I ban bubble hats? Yeah, good, carry on.
I felt like I was an episode of Father Ted for a second.
Oh, just very quickly, my doctor...
Go on.
My doctor is an Irishman, and it is amazing, because he's a really good doctor, but also what he does is he speaks... There is that character in Father Ted that speaks really slowly, and they really hate being around him, and then he gets hit by lightning when they go mini-golfing. Do you remember that episode? And there is my doctor is he's a really nice guy, and he's excellent, but I went to see him the other day for something, and he is just... I almost want to cry laughing, because he just goes... Right then. So you're not feeling very well then, are you? Okay. Right. So what we'll do... It's just like, okay, just get to the point. And at one point he went, right, there's a little bit of bad news. Oh, actually, no. You've been through that already. And there's like a 10-second pause between. There's a bit of bad news, and I was like, "Oh my God, what's happening?" But anyway, Bolton against Birmingham. I feel sorry for Dougie Friedman. I think he lost his way in the end there. Obviously, we're talking 2 years ago. He almost gets them into the playoffs, final game of the season, after a big charge. He made the call to leap from Crystal Palace to Bolton. Thought he'd get money he didn't eventually get. Thought he'd get players that he didn't eventually get. And I think the whole situation, the financial situation, especially at Bolton, I think muddied it. I do think that Dougie Freeman is actually an excellent manager. It was just one of those situations where... It just all goes horribly wrong, and Bolton needed something new.
Fell out of love with each other, didn't they, basically?
Yeah, well, they needed something new. It was just apathy, and it was just a mess, and they needed something to come in and jolt the whole system back up. Birmingham, I'm not a huge supporter of in terms of quality this season. I think the back line, while there are some good players, big fan of former Burnley centre-back David Edgar, I think across the back line with Grounds and so on, I don't think they're massively strong, to be honest with you. And despite the fact that Bolton, you know, haven't scored in 3 of the last 5 games they've played, albeit one of those that they did score in was against Chelsea, but you look at the league form, they beat Rotherham 3-2. After that, 1-0 loss, 2-0 loss, 4-0 loss. But then Wolves, Derby, you know, okay, Fulham and Bournemouth aren't phenomenal losses, but, you know, 2 of those are decent sides. And you look at Birmingham at home, and, you know, no win since the opening home game of the season against Brighton, and even then that was a narrow 1-0. They blew it against Ipswich, against Leeds there was a draw, Sheffield Wednesday, Fulham, and I just think Neil Lennon going in there and the whole situation just being swept afresh, made brand new. I do think that Bolton are overpriced in this game. So in the end, I've actually gone with Bolton to win the match, just clear and simple on the outrights. Haven't even played the draw, no bet here, 21-10.
Interesting. There was some interesting research done in the week on Twitter. I'm just trying to... I'll remember by the end of this podcast and let you know who it was so you can go and check it out on managers taking over and the effect that managers have taking over, or the effect that a club has on a club when a manager leaves. I'll find out who tweeted it and I'll mention it before the end of the podcast. Sheffield Wednesday versus Watford is the next game that we're going to have a look at. Sheffield Wednesday are 6-5. It's 21-10 the draw, and it's also 21-10 the price for Watford to win at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday still haven't quite got over that 7-0 mauling by Manchester City, but they have stopped losing. The last game, of course, was away at Elland Road when they got the 1-1 draw. Fantastic opening goal, and Leeds United pegged them back. Didn't look too good in that match though. Watford third and still motoring along quite nicely despite everything, mate, really.
Bizarre, isn't it?
Yes.
They have a manager who they start well, they part company with him because reportedly he's lost the dressing room. They bring in another manager who very sadly isn't well enough to continue in the role. They bring in a third manager who picks up a win and a draw in his only two games. 4 points in two games is not bad in the Championship for two games, and then he goes. And in comes Slavisa, doesn't he? Slavisa Jokanovic. I do commentaries for UEFA, you know.
But luckily not on him, not on Watford.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Just a bizarre situation. And for them to be third with that situation as it is just incredible. It's actually incredible that they've been through what they've been through and yet they still sit here third in the league. You're absolutely right. That Sheffield Wednesday result, they kind of haven't looked 100% since then. Two back-to-back draws, drew with Leeds, of course. They were leading in that game, and it was very late. I think it was 80th, 81st minute, something, when Belushi equalised. They were leading against Ipswich, blew it there. They got back on level terms against Cardiff and lost. So you could look, first and foremost, if you want a pro Watford bet, for them to come from behind and win or draw. Sheffield Wednesday have blown it into back-to-back games. So if you want to play Watford to come from behind and win or draw, you're getting 5-1. But I think we get a weekend full of draws, and I think this might well be another one of them, to be honest with you. Both teams to score in this match, if you want to play it, is probably the best bet of all. 8-11 for the both teams to score. It's one for your coupons. Landed in the last three Sheffield Wednesday games that they've been involved in. If you want to look at home games, it's much less prevalent, just the two. But Watford, last four games, back-to-back, both teams to score has landed. And it's all been very, very strange. But one man who's come out at Watford and said this week, listen, it's strange, but we're all getting on with it, is Lloyd Dyer. And I always quite like looking at Lloyd Dyer as a little nibble for a goal scorer. And just everything he was saying, you know, I want to go out there and score goals, and whoever the manager is, I want to do the right thing by him. And just everything that comes out of a player. You know when you read or hear an interview and you think, that interview makes me want to back him to score this weekend. Do you ever get that?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, I got that from seeing what Lloyd Dyer said. 5-2. 7-2 anytime, sorry. 7-2 anytime, I think, is very, very decent. But ultimately, the draw on both teams to score again at 16-5. I'm not normally this much of a fence sitter, but I think I might well. I think draws might be the way forward this weekend.
Mm, yeah, interesting. I found that what I was on about. It was a piece by Mark O'Hare on Twitter. He's guested on one of our other podcasts, The Punt, this season. I think he's just at Mark O'Hare on Twitter. Check that at Mark O'Hare, H-A-I-R-E. It's basically, what he was doing, Pete, was he was looking at the record of teams up until a manager was sacked, and then what happened immediately after. So the game, because you often think that they will improve, don't you, because of whatever reason, because they've lost a manager, whatever. Basically, this is not a big surprise, but so he's looked at all the managers who've been sacked in the Football League this season, played 85. Won 12. This is in the run up to the sacked.
Sorry, okay.
Drawn 19. Lost 54. And those same teams in the match immediately following the departure of the manager played 12. Won 5. Drawn 3. Lost 4. So you're averaging 0.65 points a game pre departure, and in the immediate game afterwards, 1.5 points per game. So there you go.
Interesting. That's really good. That.
Yes. I like it when other people do that kind of research. Let's have a look.
Hand it to you.
Yeah, it's nice. The beauty of Twitter. I did thank him for it though. Wigan versus Brentford is the final Championship match we'll look at. Pete's going to have a look at a match in League One and League Two as well. Wigan are 21st, 3 points above the drop zone after 11 games. Brentford 17th after their 11. Still with a negative goal difference, Brentford. They haven't drawn many in the last few. They tend to win or lose. Went through a nice little spell around the end of August, start of September. Then lost a couple, then won, then lost, then won. Just pretty inconsistent. if only Wigan were that inconsistent, because it's hard for them to find a win anywhere at the minute, Pete. It tends to be a lot of losses and draws, doesn't it?
It does, but I keep looking at Wigan and thinking, it's got to turn for you. It's got to turn for you. The quality that Uwe Rosler's got in front of him, I just keep... I'm not sure if I'm kidding myself or what, but I just keep looking at Wigan and thinking, you've got so much more to come. This, of course, has an extra little slant, doesn't it? Uwe Rosler meeting his former club for the first time since he left. And it really is very, very intriguing in terms of goal scorer as well. Adam Forshaw, of course, really fell out with Brentford. Wigan wanted him. They wanted him for absolutely ages. They tried to get him. It didn't quite work out for him. Then they went back, and final day of the transfer window, they brought him in, and Brentford fans were unhappy. Brentford as a club were unhappy with the way things have been handled. So again, any time at 100 to 30, you might want to have a little look at Adam Forshaw to score this weekend. It's been very, very strange for Wigan, though. I mean, certainly at the DW, they've not been anywhere close to bad, really. They've lost only once to Ipswich, drawn with Reading and Forest, fair enough, beaten two poor sides, Blackpool and Birmingham. As for Brentford, they've won at Blackpool. You can almost, like a San Marino game early season, just put an X through that one, and they've beaten Rotherham as well. But other than that, losses at Bournemouth, Middlesbrough and at Watford. I just saw this as a real clear Wigan win, to be honest with you. Even money. Some people might say, if there's an argument for it, that even money for a team who are just above the relegation zone against a mid-table side who've done incredibly well following their promotion is not a good price. And I can completely understand why someone would look at the game that way. For me, I'm happy to take that punt. The other thing is, the two games they've won at home this season, they've won both of them 2-0. So even though I'm not a huge 2-0 player, I do still think it might well be worth just a little bit of a bet here and there. Like I say, I'm not normally a guy who'll put my cash down on a 2-0 because your team can win, but one moment of madness. I mean, a couple of months ago I had a team 6-0 up and I was thinking, brilliant, and they conceded in the last minute and I'd played 2-0. And I thought, well, they've won 6-1, yeah, and I've lost out. But 11-5 for Wigan to win 2-0 is very, very handy indeed. It'll be a really spicy game. It'll be really interesting. I'm a big fan of the Adam Forshaw anytime at 100-30 bet. But I do think that Wigan and Uwe Rosler's first meeting with Brentford, we'll see it go their way.
Very good. The match that Pete's picked out in League One is the game between Chesterfield and Oldham. For those of you who don't know, Pete also commentates on Chesterfield week in, week out, so it seems a good one for you to pick. You've seen Iwake at 38 goals so far in League One when you've been commentating on Chesterfield. They score and they concede, and Oldham do much the same. You're expecting another goal fest here?
I am, and that's actually my bet, Lee.
Ah, it's like we planned this.
Almost, but not quite. Chesterfield, I mean, I don't normally talk a huge amount about Chesterfield on the podcast, but they are a phenomenal side. They really are. Away from home, you know, in the last three, they've conceded 9, they've scored 7. They've got the best striker in English football right now, you know, in Doyle, who is just scoring goals for fun. I mean, it is getting ridiculous, the amount of goals to the guy's name. It's just incredible, but also as part of their attacking philosophy, they have conceded a few goals of late as well. Like you say, Oldham, they're a good side. You know, no loss for them in quite a while now. Certainly the last 5, I think they've won 2, drawn 3, but I think you've got to go even further back than that for their most recent loss. I think it was all the way back at Preston quite early season, if memory serves. So they've been doing incredibly well, but goals in their games recently. 0-0, 3-2, 2-all, 2-2, 2-1. You look at the Spirites, well, you've had a 3-2, you've had a 3-2, you've had a 3-all, you've had just goals, 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 goals. It has been crazy. 3-3, 3-2, 1-all, 3-2, 3-2. Now, if I tell you all of that, Lee, and then say, well, my bet here is over 2.5 match goals, without looking, I don't know if you have looked. Have you looked?
No, I haven't, no.
Right. What price do you think that is?
Over 2.5 goals.
With all the form for goals, yeah, yeah, in the two respective sides.
I would say it will be, it should be around 6 to 10 or something, but I'm presuming because you're asking me it's not that.
No, last night when I was prepping for this, it was 11 to 10. Now, it's not 11 to 10 anymore, sadly.
Go on.
It's slap bang even money.
Still great.
But that... As far as value...
Why? That's crazy.
Incredible.
That is absolutely crazy.
Absolutely incredible in terms of value. When it was 11-10 last night, I thought I'm going to back this now, because the trade is, there's no way that once they have a second look through the games before the weekend, they're going to let this go off at 11-10. And then I actually texted a friend about it, and the friend texted back saying, price has gone down now. And I thought, oh, all right, well, let's have a look before I record the podcast. It's only gone from 11 to 10 to even money.
Yeah, but yeah, I know you are, mate. He's loading £1,000 on it. It makes a big difference to him, mate.
That's true. I mean, it is. I do hang around an awful lot with Donald Trump. So I actually don't hang around with Donald Trump. I don't like him. But still, the point remains. Even money is just, quite frankly, incredible price for over 2.5 when you have a look at the most recent record of goals. And I can tell you one thing, there's no way that Chesterfield are changing their style. No way.
No, looks good, that one. I like that. In League Two, you've picked out York versus Shrewsbury. The price is 17-10 at the Yorkshire side. Shrewsbury 8-5 and the draw 2-1. Regular listeners will know that Pete has a theory called the Socks Up Syndrome. I already mentioned it once, whereby a team who have been on a fantastic run, once they lose that, they find it very hard to regain that form. York, I mean, they're like... they just epitomise that theory, don't they? I mean, what a wretched season they're having after that long unbeaten run they had up to the playoffs. Shrewsbury in 8th position with 18 points from the 12 games. Not amazing, but picking up wins, and they're doing all right, aren't they? You can't really argue too much with them.
No, but then...
Terrible away from home, though, by the way.
Yeah, no goal in the last four. This is the interesting thing about it. York have obviously, since then, they've part of company with Nigel Worthington.
That's right, yeah.
And a man who, personally speaking, I think was a little harshly done by in being told to leave Scunthorpe, Russ Wilcox, has gone in as manager.
Yeah.
So I actually am really confident in this 17-10 for York to win the game. Russell Wilcox is an exceptionally good manager. To be fair, the job that Nigel Worthington did was brilliant, but they just seem to have hit the buffers for whatever reason. Just that one win over, I think it's Stevenage this season, isn't it? But he is a real confidence man, Russ Wilcox. He will give his players huge confidence. He will G them up. He's a big motivator. And we know how hard they were to beat last season. Don't forget, when he went into the role, they then went, I think, was it 27, 28 unbeaten? And if you add him into York's record last season of being unbeaten, they're going to be a hard team again this year, once he gets going, to actually defeat. On top of that, with Shrewsbury not really scoring away from home in the last four, you'd argue that maybe only one goal would win in this game. There's no Veselovsky as well for Shrewsbury, and I think he's a vital part of that side, Veselovsky. So you put all of that together, and even though York were without their man, Russell Penn as well, who's a big, big player for them, I thought the 17-10 was huge.
Yeah, it is good, that. Nap time. We're going to give Sam a void this week.
No. I don't care if he's on death's door. We're docking him. We're not really docking him.
Last week, he had a winner last week, actually, so maybe this is his tactic. He has a winner and then just goes off on the six. He doesn't have to do it again. He had Sheffield to score more goals in the second half than the first, or the tie, 8-5, which is nice. I went Wimbledon versus Bury over 2.5, which landed at 21-20. You were chinned by a Pompey draw. You went for the win in the Pompey game, didn't you, at 23-20.
I did.
Do you want to go first?
Yes, okay.
I don't mind if I can, but you know.
No, I'll go first. Well, I know that I normally do the championship part of this podcast.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of really good bets. I think the over 45 booking points in the Leeds-Rotherham game is exceptional. I'm a big fan of Bolton this weekend. I'm a big fan of Middlesbrough this weekend. I think Wigan will beat Brentford. You know, all of those that I do love. But if you're offering me even money for over 2.5 goals in a game where Chesterfield are exceptional, and they are exceptional as a side, they're every team that Chesterfield play, the opposing fans will come over at the end and go, that's the best team I've seen this season.
Mm.
But they are scoring so many goals. They have let in quite a lot recently as well. The same can be said for Oldham. And you give me over 2.5 goals at even money? Not even a question.
Yeah,
snap of the week.
Absolutely, yeah. I can see why. I can't get away from that... that Charlton game. It's just I just don't get it. It's as balmy to me in the pricing as the over 2.5 in the Chesterfield game. Look, you know, the win at 19-5, the plus one at 5-4, Vettacoli at 15-8. They're all great prices, but do you know, I'm going to be sensible here, Pete. I'm a long way behind both of you guys. even with last week's winner. I'm going to be sensible, and I'm just going to back over 0.5 Charlton goals. So that is Charlton to score a goal or more in the game, 8-13. They've scored in each of the last five championship matches. And even had a great record last season as well, away from home. So they don't score many, but they do score at least one in every single game away from home. That's including a 1-0 win at Norwich, by the way. Just to back up that 19-5 again. So, you know, take any of the four for me, but just for safety's sake, I'll go 8-13 for Charlton to score a goal. Get well soon to Sam Ashu.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for delving into the League One and League Two, and have a good weekend.
Thank you very much, sir. You as well, and to everyone listening.
Merry Christmas.
I was about to say Merry Christmas. That's really weird. I know we look a little bit alike, Lee, but even that's even stranger now.
I could tell in your voice that it was coming out as Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's weird. Anyway, never mind. I'll see you all next week.
Cheers, Pete. You can download this podcast at williamhill.com/podcast. It's also available on a playlist in the top right-hand corner of the 72.co.uk, where you'll also get match previews and reaction after the game, plus videos and all the rest of it. You'll also get this at iTunes, where you can download the rest of our podcasts as well. Just search William Hill Football, and every one of our podcasts at William Hill will drop into your phone, into your tablet or your PC. Thanks for listening, and good luck if you're having a bet on any of the matches this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.